Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Happy Easter, everybody. I'm so glad that you're able to join us today for Calvary Church Online. You know, this is a fantastic day to celebrate. And when was the last time you could attend church on Easter Sunday in your pajamas, right? It's fantastic. And so we may never get that opportunity again, so enjoy it today. You know, churches all over the world today are celebrating this day because it is at the central part of everything that we believe. And so if you're joining us today as a guest, we want you to feel at home and welcomed. And go ahead and click on that welcome tab at the top of the screen. We'd love to hear that you stopped by for a visit, or let us know in the chat who you are and where you're tuning in from. There's so many people from all around the world joining us for our services online, and so we're glad that you're with us today, that we can be with you celebrating Easter with your family. You know, I believe that the two most important days, the two most important events in human history are the death and resurrection of Jesus. As a matter of fact, Billy Graham once said that without the resurrection, the cross is absolutely meaningless. You see, God sent his Son to save the human race from self-destruction, to restore and to redeem us all, and to bring hope. We all need hope, especially in the day that we're living in right now. It's that hope that we cling to and hold. Now, from where I can stand today, all of that is extremely good news. And we could use some good news to balance everything else that we're hearing. So today, as we continue with our Easter Crossview message series with episode 3, we're going to be looking at some different perspectives through the eyes of those who experienced those moments firsthand. Each of these people had a different view, a different perspective of what was happening. And now today, we can look back and we can, with our own perspective, consider what that image, that act that Jesus did, what it calls us to and what it assures us of in our lives. Now, if you've ever had an opportunity to travel anywhere, go on vacation, you know that when you stay in an unfamiliar place, like a hotel room or somebody's home, that there's a moment where you wake up in the middle of the night and you can be very disoriented, right? Or you'll wake up and nobody's there and your brain is racing, trying to catch up with the reality that you're dealing with. You're not used to waking up in this room, and so you don't even know where you are in that moment. As a matter of fact, when we go on holidays, when we save our money and go, usually the first night of wherever we are, Susan will get up very early in the morning because she likes to get up with the birds, go get some coffee. That's her kind of quiet space. But for me, I'm looking to catch up on a little bit of sleep, so usually I'm sleeping, and I'll wake up in a moment, and I'll look around the room, and I'll try to figure out, where am I? And where is Susan? I can't figure it out. And so my brain is again racing to catch up, to figure out what's going on in that moment. You know, when the ladies showed up at the tomb, still mourning the death of Jesus, they were struggling. They were struggling in their thinking to figure out what they were seeing. The stone was rolled back. An angel was there speaking to them. And most alarming of all, Jesus was gone. And they're trying to figure out what's happened. Did he just say that he is risen? Wait, what? He's not here? I don't know what's going on right now. And so they're trying to figure this out and catch up to that reality, just like I was when I was waking up in an unfamiliar place. And so as they began to kind of catch up with the moment and be present, they began to feel a little less alarmed and a little bit more excited. Excited about the possibilities of the promises that they had held so tightly to for so long. Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 4, says that when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, and that's an understatement, it was very large, had been rolled away. They entered the tomb and they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, which was the angel. And they were alarmed, I'll say, right? You can imagine what that moment would be like. It would take your breath away. And then the angel said, "Don't be alarmed," he said, because he saw that they were a little freaked out by the situation. "You are looking For Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified, he has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. You know, I think in this moment that all the hopes and the dreams of the disciples were kind of dashed in this moment because Jesus had died on the cross. They were unsure, but then God went to work. And shortly after that, the news traveled of the empty tomb. And that empty tomb held so much promise. You know, initially, most of the disciples felt that the words of the women that came back and reported that he's not there, he's gone. They thought that they were exaggerating, that they were being emotional. So two of the disciples doubled back and ran to the tomb themselves to verify what was being said. And they, too, recognized the fact, it's gone. He's gone. It's empty. The tomb is empty. Now, their minds were struggling to catch up with the moment that they found themselves in. You see, the empty tomb was actually full. The empty tomb was full of the promises of God and the possibility of what it really means when you and I have a personal relationship with Christ. You see, this new reality changed everything for their lives. And today, as we thank God for the cross and as we worship him for the miracle of the resurrection, one of the most powerful truths that we can embrace is the fact that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And if he doesn't, he can today. That's the good news. That's the great news. And one of the implications of this truth is that the resurrection and the empty tomb, it gives us the power to close the gap between the life that we're living right now and the life that we could be living in him. You see, the 3 days between Jesus' death and the resurrection show us this progression through which pain becomes victory. And the difficult seasons of our lives, just like the one we're in right now, can take that same path when we partner with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. Romans 8, verse 11 says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you." Jesus died on the cross, not just to save us from our sins, but to resurrect us from emotional, relational, and spiritual death. He is the resurrection. He didn't just resurrect. He is. He defines the resurrection. You see, because the tomb was empty, because he lives, everything now that's dying on the inside of us can come to life again too. That resurrection power living in those of us that know Jesus, that know him intimately as our Lord and Savior, gives us access to the power that can resurrect the dead and isolated parts of our life. You see, that's something that at Easter we can all celebrate. So, the empty tomb is actually full. It's full of promise. The limitless possibilities and promises of God for our lives. So by faith, we're assured of the promises that we see in the empty tomb for our relationship with God. So let me give you a few of them. The first one is that in the empty tomb, we find our relationship with God is restored. It's restored. The Bible tells us that back in the beginning, that Adam and Eve, they had this great personal relationship with God. They walked with him, talked with him in the garden. He provided for their every needs. And before sin entered the equation, they enjoyed the perfect relationship in the perfect place until that relationship was broken. Then God put a plan in motion for Christ to die, to rise, and to save mankind and to restore this broken relationship. John 3:16 in the New Living Translation says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." You see, if we accept him in our lives, if we embrace this moment, this empty tomb becomes symbolic of a very personal relationship that he wants to have with all of us. Number two, in the empty tomb, we find something else. We find that our relationship with God is accessible. You see, when Jesus rose from the grave, the stone was rolled away from the opening of the tomb. And that stone was also symbolic of this barrier between God and man. And after the whole Adam and Eve fiasco in the garden, God spoke to Moses and created an agreement with mankind known as the law. Now, under the law, the high priest was the one who would enter into the Holy of Holies behind the curtain. He would intercede for the people. He would offer sacrifices for their sin. But at the very moment that Christ died on the cross, some powerful things took place here on earth. The earth shook. We see rocks split in two. The tombs were broken open. And the curtain that separated the people from the Holy of Holies was torn in two. Again, symbolic of big change. God had made himself more accessible to the people. Hebrews 6:19 says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain." You see, the promise of the empty tomb is that Jesus has restored us. He's offered us forgiveness and removed any barrier that was between us. And now he abides in our heart, not behind a curtain. And then number three, in the empty tomb, we find that our relationship with God is so powerful. Jesus overcame death. Bam! That is a mic drop moment right there. He overcame death. Now he could stand and say that he had overcome it all, truly all things, even death. And after his resurrection, he made this bold declaration in Matthew 28, verse 18. "Then Jesus came to them," to the disciples, "and he said, 'All authority,'" all, circle it, underline it, "all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." You see, our relationship with God is so powerful because Jesus passed on that same authority to you and I in how we live our lives. So the empty tomb not only symbolizes the overcoming work of Christ, but that in him you and I can overcome too, whatever we face. You see, there's a power available to those who believe. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead and now lives and works within our lives. And that power comes from his Spirit. Now, most of the time when we line up for something, whether it's a concert or a ride at an amusement park, or maybe even groceries these days at the store, you know, we hold on to the promise in that line that whatever's inside is worth the wait that we're lined up for. And so we hope that when we get in there that it's worth all that standing around. You know, years ago I went on a ministry trip with a group of ministers to Israel, and we spent a lot of time in lines, lining up for buses, lining up for tours that we were taking, lining up for photo ops, one thing after another. But when we finally made our way to the Garden Tomb, which is really one place I really desperately wanted to go, we could see large groups of people slowly walking through the garden. So we took time, we slowed down, we read the scripture, we received communion together, but I got to be honest with you, I was feeling anxious in that moment. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for many of those that were on this trip. And yet all as I could think about is, let's keep moving. I need to get to that tomb. Now, understand that the cave we visited may or may not have been the exact tomb that Jesus was in. But we know it was in the same neighborhood. It was in the same vicinity. So our tour guide breaks us up into smaller groups. He lines us up. And one group at a time, people had an opportunity to go in the tomb, spend some time, and come back out. And so people would go in and pray, and they would come back out. So by the time I got in, ducked my head, and got in there, there was something strangely satisfying about seeing absolutely nothing. It was empty. It was completely empty. I don't think there's another time in my life where I will be as satisfied as I was lining up to see nothing, lining up to see the empty room. There was nothing there. But see, that is the great news. Because on that day, the thing that kept me in line was the promise that it represented. Because in that emptiness was the fullness of all the promises that he's brought to bear in our lives. You know, as I prepared for this Easter message, as I prayed for all of you on this day, I kept being drawn back to the book of Genesis. I couldn't get away from it. You see, this book of new beginnings, had many different statements that stood out to me. And they all started the same way with two simple words. Then God. Then God. Genesis 1:3, it says, "Then God said, let there be light." Genesis 1:16, "Then God made two great lights in the sky." Genesis 1:26, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image." Genesis 1:28, "Then God blessed them." Genesis 8:15, "Then God spoke to Noah." And it continues on and on for about 25 other verses that start the same way in the book of Genesis alone. You know, things can sometimes be dark, they can be hopeless, and sometimes feel confusing. Then God. Listen, today our borders are closed, travel is stopped, schools and businesses are shut down. Theaters and restaurants are no longer open, and people aren't allowed to gather. And sometimes we read the news and the statistics seem to not be improving as much as we want them to. Then God. Then God. Listen, following the needs of God's people was always a then God response. And following that response was his solution. It was his deliverance, his direction, his assurance, his blessing in our lives, his provision, and his healing. He knows what you're facing right now, and he is ready to respond. We're not just living in an age of sickness and crisis. We're living in an age of miracles. Allow that to fuel your faith in the day that we're living. He will do great things in your life, in your marriage, in your family, with your children, in this time that you and I have actually been created for. Now, you may be struggling today. You may be feeling lost and anxious. Then God assured you of his presence in your life and offered you peace and hope when you weren't feeling either one. Remember, he always has the last word. You may be suffering emotionally and physically or spiritually. Then God sent his son, his only son, to die on a cross for the forgiveness of your sins, only to be raised to life again, conquering death to give you eternal life. In the year 2020, a global pandemic shut down the world. Then God provided hope for every man, for every woman, for every child, and delivered us from our isolation and our fear. Then God. Romans 10:9 says that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, confession, it confirms and seals the belief of your heart. Today, you can experience your own then God moment. This can be a moment of new beginning, a fresh start, a new chapter in your life, even in the midst of a world crisis. A moment, a prayer that you will never forget. Even in this age of distance, God is closer to you right now than he ever has been. Death thought that it had defeated Jesus on Calvary's cross. Then God. Every time you watch the news and hear of the darkness that surrounds you, add to the end of the things you're hearing, then God, because he has the final say. Today, I want to pray for you. Some of you would say to me, "Pastor Steve, I don't know if I've ever had a then God moment. I don't know if I know Jesus in a personal way like you're talking about." Today can be that day for you. And for those of you that do know Christ, that do have that relationship with him, today you can be comforted to know that no matter what it is we see out there, then God will intervene and do something that only he can do. And I want you to be assured of that. I want you to be at peace with that. So whether you're coming to Christ today for the first time or coming back to him, it would be my great honor and privilege on this Easter Sunday to pray that prayer with you. Would you bow your heads? Would you pray with me? Father God, today I thank you for everyone that's watching today that's a part of our Easter celebration. I pray for those that are watching whose hearts are pounding in the knowledge of the fact that you want to give them that then God moment to know you personally. And while your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, if that's you today, would you pray this simple prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on a cross for me, for enduring that pain and that suffering because of the joy that you saw before you, which was me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And fill my life with the hope to navigate any storm that I will ever face. You are the resurrection and the life. And I pray that power would well up within you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, I pray for everyone else that's watching that does know you, that today, if they've strayed, that today they would come back. That today they would be assured of the fact that no matter what they're seeing, hearing, or feeling, then God moves. Then God brings his solution. He brings healing. No matter what your doctor has said, no matter what you're seeing on the news, then God, he will intervene. And he will change everything and fill you with life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.